The fighting rages in Syria this morning, much as the government of Bashar Assad tries to contain it. The 10-month uprising and crackdown is an issue before the United Nations Security Council today. The U.S. and other Western nations will back an Arab League proposal calling on Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to step down. But Russia, Syria's key ally on the Security Council, threatens a veto. This morning, the case for foreign intervention in Syria. We begin with Shadi Hamid, director of research at the Brookings Doha Center in Qatar, who made the case in an article in the Current Atlantic. Shadi Hamid, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's just imagine for a moment that you're arguing at the Security Council in the United Nations on behalf of whom? Let's not worry about that. What is the case, in your view, from the international perspective, for an intervention in Syria?
Sure. Well, first of all, we've tried nearly everything: mediation, diplomacy, the Arab League mission. We've tried to reach some kind of understanding with the Assad regime, but he keeps on saying no, that he's not willing to make any real concessions or compromises. I think that there's been a very patient wait and a careful consideration of a variety of options. But there comes a point when people are being slaughtered that you have to say, you know, enough is enough. This is a UN established norm. And if you compare that to Libya, where we intervened militarily after really just a month, you can see the contrast there.
But what other limitations are there? The comparison with Syria and Libya breaks down in the sense that Syria is in a very different place. It's a different ethnic and tribal composition. It's a much bigger country. What are the constraints that would make the comparison with Libya dubious?
The risks of intervention in Syria are tremendous, and I'm not taking that lightly, and no one should. In fact, in my article for The Atlantic, I say precisely this: I'm not a military expert. I don't really know the feasibility of different military options. And there are, you know, a whole number of other considerations: the role of Iran in the region, Iran's proxies. There could be definite instability as a result of any intervention. Of course, it's already quite unstable as is anyway. This can't just be an American thing, and no one wants that. There has to be an Arab and Muslim footprint on any involvement.
Talking with Shadi Hamid, director of research at the Brookings Doha Center. He's speaking to us from Doha. Shadi, how do you prevent then a situation such as was the case in neighboring Iraq, where an intervention on supposed humanitarian grounds developed into a nearly decade-long commitment with the bloody consequences that the Iraqis are still living today? And contrast that with the situation in Iraq, say, in the early 90s, when the earlier Bush administration made essentially a partition, did a no-fly zone over Kurdistan and in the southern Iraq to a certain extent. Are those stable conditions?
Right. Well, I don't think the Iraq war is a relevant comparison here. First of all, we didn't go in for humanitarian reasons. The reason was very clearly weapons of mass destruction. And I think it's also important to note that there wasn't a mass slaughter going on in Iraq in 2003. You didn't have Iraqi protesters on the ground pleading with us to come to their aid. But that's what we had in Libya, and that's what we have now in Syria. And this is one of my principles, and I try to make this case in the article, that it depends partly on whether the protesters on the ground are requesting us to act on their behalf to support their struggle. And the Syrian National Council, which is the most representative opposition body in Syria, has called for military intervention. Leading Syrian opposition figures have called for the U.S., EU, Turkey, and others to think seriously about establishing a safe zone. So it's not as if this is some Western imperial imposition and we're doing this because of our own interests. No, many Syrians on the ground and many of those in exile want us to think about military intervention.
And the argument is being made in the United Nations Security Council. Shadi Hamid, Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And here in the studio, making that argument from the Syrian National Council itself is Obeida Nahas. First of all, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How do you feel in advance of what have been up till now very frustrating discussions? And is it the case that, as Shadi Hamid says, that you are pleading with the international community to intervene in Syria?
Well, let me first of all correct one little thing. I mean, the SNC official line is not asking for military intervention in Syria. Let's make that very clear. All we are asking for is this world to recognize Syrians' aspirations for dignity, freedom, and democracy. So far, the international community has failed to do so. And the Russians, in specific, have been so arrogant that they ignored our aspirations for so long. Now we come to the UN Security Council, backed by the Arab League and backed by many other countries around the world, and it seems you are not getting there.
What sort of action would you want, aside from a rhetorical endorsement of the aspirations of the Syrians, that would have a real effect on the ground?
There's a real political plan proposed by the Arab League now, and it talks about Bashar al-Assad leaving power sooner or later. I mean, let's just put aside the details. We know that the Arab League plan leads at the end to Bashar going. And this is exactly why people have been uprising for 10 months. Look, we've been very patient. The Syrian people were very, very patient. We took this gradually. The politicians in the opposition never spoke about Bashar stepping down before August. That was 5 months down the line. And the Syrian people have been calling for this all along. But we took it gradually, and the Syrian regime wouldn't listen.
And, of course, Bashar Assad is not going anywhere. That's one of the details.
Well, I mean, he has to go. I mean, all this bloodshed, he can't continue. This is a country that cannot be ruled by him anymore, and we can't have people safe. People feel if any gradual reform includes him remaining in the country, that his comeback is possible, and that's not very assuring.
So who would lead?
Well, there are many alternatives. We can't bet everything on one person out of 23 million Syrians. There are definitely politicians in the opposition. There are politicians even within the regime that can take control. And we believe the army at the end is not in support of this crackdown.
The Russians have said they will veto virtually anything in the Security Council. You've talked with the Russians. When we come back after a break, you've looked them in the eye, haven't you?
Yes, we do.
All right. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Obeida Nahas is a member of the Syrian National Council. He will be making the argument today for intervention from the international community in Syria. Not military intervention, but certainly intervention.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Continuing our discussion now about the argument in the United Nations for more UN and international community involvement in the brutal situation taking place in Syria. Obeida Nahas is a member of the Syrian National Council here in New York, trying to make that argument to members of the Security Council. Russia has claimed it will veto virtually any resolution that's been drafted and circulated. You met with the Russians. What's it like to look into their eyes and see that they're not taking you seriously?
We hope the Russians were saying that as a tactic of negotiations. We hope that today they will make the right decision once the session starts. Now, so far, they haven't signaled that. And we have been talking to them sensibly. We said, for 10 months, you didn't manage to get your friend Bashar al-Assad to even stop violence for one day. So why should we trust you when you now invite us to go to Moscow and have talks with this regime? This is just, something that doesn't work.
What do they say?
Well, they said you have to go to talks. You shouldn't determine the results from now. We said, well, we have a mandate from our people that we have to get Bashar al-Assad out of power and maybe out of the country. People in Syria don't feel safe as long as he stays. We have the Yemeni example before, and it wasn't as brutal. And yet, because the president remained in the country, he was able to infiltrate the whole process.
Finally, tell me story. You're from Aleppo, right? Tell me stories of the violence and the lack of security from your perspective, from your family's perspective.
Well, yesterday we had 100 new victims. Today is a day of mourning and rage in Syria. Two families were butchered yesterday in Homs and Rustan. Last week, we had a whole family butchered in Kerma Zeytoun and Homs. Yesterday, the people in Rankous, where they took the young and old and gathered them in the square, and people felt they are witnessing a massacre in the making. This regime is killing innocent children, women, and men every day. It's claiming there are terrorists on the ground. We don't see that, And in fact, for 10 months, the regime failed to prove and to provide any evidence. It only used false videos that were filmed somewhere else, in other countries, other times, and it failed to show us any proof.
Obeid Nahas is a member of the Syrian National Council, one of the people making the argument today for greater international involvement in the brutal crackdown in Syria. Thanks for being with us.